As in Judaism and Islam, God, the term theos in Greek, is considered first as the all-powerful creator of everything, all things visible and invisible. And because God is the source of all reality, is designated by the term Father. So, our Father is the characteristic Christian prayer. Jesus calls God my Father. But Christians also confess as God the Son, who shares fully in the divine life and power. Now, what makes this very complicated is that, as I said earlier, the Christian experience of the resurrection of Jesus had them read back the divinity of Jesus into his ministry and even before. We see already in Paul, he says, we have one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things. This Son is, as Christians term it, pre-existent, shares God's life even before coming human. So the Son partakes in creation. And it is this Son, then, that enters humanity in Jesus and partakes of humanity and saves humanity by elevating it beyond its previous condition. And finally, Holy Spirit is the third designation that Christians give to God, who, the Creed says, is to be worshipped and glorified with the Father and the Son. Now, what's going on here? What's going on is that Christians are trying to express with propositional language, a very inadequate term, the complex way in which Christians have experienced the divine in their lives. That experience is creation, salvation, and sanctification, this power that is at work in them. And they are convinced that the way in which God has disclosed God's self in the experience of humanity, through creation, through salvation in Jesus Christ, through this power that has been released in humans called the Holy Spirit, that that process of revelation is really revelation. That is, it really discloses who God is in God's inner life. So that if God has revealed God's self in three prosopa, the Greek word is not really our word person, like an individual, but really rather a mask or an appearance, a presentation. If God has appeared to us in three distinct presentations, then God, that also reveals God's inner life. So the Christian understanding of God is that of the Trinity as of three persons who share one nature. So that whatever the Father is, that is also the Son. Whatever worship and glory you give to the Son and the Father, you give also to the Spirit. So the inner life of God is a community life. An inner life of giving of being and receiving of being in a almost a kind of eternal dance. In fact, the term used in Greek theology for this is perichoresis, which is a kind of divine dance that describes the inner life of God. Now, after centuries of debate within Christianity, especially as Christianity became more philosophically sophisticated, and tried harder and harder to express its experiences in the form of convictions and propositions, debate over the work and nature of Jesus yielded an equally complex understanding of Christology. The term Christology means the understanding or the study of the Christ, the Messiah. Now, although the New Testament itself rarely uses the title Theos, God, for Jesus, it does so about three or four times. It usually reserves that title for God the Father. Nevertheless, the New Testament does ascribe to Jesus both human and divine attributes. And this is the case in all of the New Testament writings. Not simply the Gospels, but also the letters, the earliest Christian writings. So on one side, Jesus is fully and manifestly human. He is born, he experiences fatigue, He has relationships with other humans. He grows weary. He suffers. He is executed. He really dies. And he is buried. He's planted like all other humans. He's truly dead.